Welcome to the Frontline Herbalism Podcast with your host, Nicole Rose, from the Solidarity Apothecary. This is your place for all things plants and liberation. Let's get started. Hello, welcome back to the Frontline Herbalism Podcast. I hope you enjoyed the last episode, which was a reshare about the prisoner support with the Final Straw Radio. I've had some really nice comments about it. So yeah, thank you for listening. And yeah, just like a shout out to other people doing that work who totally understand the challenges involved. Okay, so today I am going to be sharing a talk that I did for Zagreb Anarchist Book Fair on Friday. Unfortunately, I couldn't do it live as I didn't have any childcare help with Lee. So I pre-recorded it when he was at nursery. I wanted to put it on my website, but I think it's like quite rushed. I had a kind of block of 20 minutes and I ended up speaking for 26. And I think what I'd like to do when I've got a bit more resources is kind of re-record the whole thing in a kind of more in-depth way where I can like really do the different points justice. So yeah, if you listen to this, I'm sorry about my kind of inaccessible speed of talking really fast. I know you can't see the slides, so it's like less of a pleasurable experience, but I hope it resonates with people. And I know this series is about like herbal support through repression, but I think a major aspect of repression is burnout. And I would like to kind of produce more resources about recovering from burnout and how do we recover from chronic stress, and you know, how does that look like in terms of our adrenals and endocrine system and all the things. So this episode is sharing that talk. And the other thing I wanted to plug, or two things, one is the Herbalism PTSD and Traumatic Stress course is coming so bloody soon. It's in 12 days. Oh my god, I need to promote it more. I've done shitloads of episodes all about the PTSD course, and you can check out the course page that has got all the information on how it works, on all the modules, on the sliding scale. Like, it is literally no one turned away for lack of funds. Sorry, I can't talk this morning. So please, please, please check that out. It's only open twice a year. So yeah, if you want to kind of join it, then yeah, it is worth joining it soon. And I really encourage you to join the waiting list because two reasons. One, it means you don't miss the course because I will email you consistently telling you to enroll. But secondly, I have a bonus of everyone. I put everyone's emails into this kind of like auto-generator tool, and basically someone will win a place on my practical herbal medicine intensive next summer. So I teach two of these a year, and they are a three-day course where you learn fucking everything about medicine making, and they're always lush and full of queer babes. And yeah, I just want to give someone the opportunity to win a place for free. I do have subsidized places and free places on the course, and yeah, there's always like a million applicants for those. But if you're interested in joining that, then I encourage you to join the waiting list for the PTSD course. The other thing I wanted to share is I recently launched on the old Instagram a thing called Soothing Survival, which is just literally five-part email series. So you get five emails nicely laid out into bullet points, because that's how my brain works, all about different nervous system states and herbs that kind of indicated for them. So I talk about the sort of like survival states like fight and flight and freeze and shutdown. And yeah, it's literally a little bit about how that kind of survival response like shows up, like signs that you're kind of in it, signs that that state is maybe like you're maybe sort of stuck there, and then ways to like shift that state. And yeah, one sort of plant ally like to explore that could potentially help you shift that state. So yeah, people have been loving it so far and appreciating how I communicate about the different nervous system states. So yeah, I'll put a link in the show notes, and yeah, it's like obviously completely free, so please check that out. It's just a short-term little sequence of emails telling you all about, yeah, these nervous system states and herbal support. So anyway, I will stop talking now and you can listen to the burnout talk. Yeah, okay, thanks for listening. Bye. Hello, how are you doing? So I'm, yeah, gonna do a talk about burnout. I'm gonna introduce myself and this book that I put together called Overcoming Burnout, and then explore some of the kind of structural, biological and cultural factors, as well as like what can we do about it. So yeah, I'm really grateful that you're here. I'm so sorry to not be able to join live. I'm looking after my baby on my own at the moment, and don't have anyone that can help put him to sleep at this time of night. So I'm sorry. Here he is, fucking up cop cars at Softplay. I did like a joke Instagram post about him starting a toddler ABC group, hence the graphic, but I just thought I would, share that with you. Just a content warning. I do mention briefly probably about prison and repression. And different forms of oppression. And yeah, this is like potentially like difficult for some people. I've only got 20 minutes and this is like such a fucking huge topic. And I know that other people that are talking and facilitating a workshop have tons of wisdom and you'll be able to all talk about this collectively. I know everyone's got experience with burnout and navigating their own like limitations and also all the kind of challenges in anti-fascism and other movements that we're part of. So many people have spoken about this topic before. All right. So just mini introduction. I'm Nicole. I'm from England. My family are also Welsh and I've got Irish lineages as well. I've been a DIY herbalist since I was 21 and I'm 37 now. And I also did kind of 4 years of formal kind of clinical training with the Plant Medicine School in Ireland. I run this project called the Solidarity Apothecary, where I focus on supporting people with state violence with herbal medicine. And yeah, I started organizing literally when I was like 10 years old. I wrote to the Anarchist Federation. I found a Malatesta book and was like, oh my God, this is it. Literally wrote to AFED probably when I was like 11 or 12, being like, what can I do? Like a handwritten letter, by the way. I've been organizing for a long time and gone through a lot of stuff in terms of like repression and prison. Did a 3.5 year sentence, etc. That's the kind of context that I'm speaking in. So yeah, the mission of the Solidarity Apothecary is to support like revolutionary struggles and communities of plant medicines. You can find more at the old website, solidarityapothecary.org. And yeah, I focus on supporting state violence against them, but supporting people experiencing state violence with like one-to-one support as a herbalist and care packages. I wrote a book called The Prisoner's Herbal that goes to prisoners worldwide for free and have been supporting a clinic in France that works with refugees and forcibly displaced people on the border. And I do a lot of support for people that are doing kind of like intense organizing work. And I also have a podcast. And then beyond and before herbalism, my main sort of political organizing is like prisoner support and prison abolition. And yeah, I mean, I kind of grew up in the animal liberation movement and that's what got me to prison. And then since then, I've mostly been doing prison related things. Just a really brief context. I burnt out like so fucking hard in 2016, like was in hospital, had a really intense chronic illness with chronic inflammation in my rib cage, hence the picture, like the illustration of this book. And I basically just started writing about my experiences in this series called Overcoming Burnout. And yeah, it just went really viral. And like, I still to this day get so many emails from people all over the world being like, oh my God, this resonates so much. This was my experience, blah, 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 blah. And Active Distribution, who I know are at the book fair right now. Shout out to John for making this all possible. And other people in Active. But they were like, let's put it in a book. So we did. And then that's the selling of that is what funds all the Prisoner's Herbal distribution. So I'm super grateful for that. And it's also been translated by some comrades to Spanish, but it's not on my website yet, the Spanish version. So let's bloody dive in to what is burnout. So there's no like definition, right? But I like to frame it as a state of emotional, physical, and mental exhaustion caused by excessive and prolonged stress. So my critical points here are that burnout is like structural, burnout is cultural, and burnout is biological, and that every time we talk about burnout and we think about how do we recover from burnout or prevent it, like these are like inherently political subjects. And that's what I'm going to dive in today. And yeah, throughout the presentation, I've just got little pictures of plants because I'm a herbalist. So there's always pictures of plants, but this is a plantain with a gas canister in Palestine from a trip I made in 2022. And I think I wrote actually in the introduction to Burnout book, imagine saying to someone, and this was, before everything started in Gaza. But like, imagine saying to a Palestinian, like, not burning out was like their responsibility. Like, it's fucking nonsense, right? Like, it is structural and determined by all these massive political things that shape us and our bodies that are bigger than one individual, which is why we do need like collective responses. And just, yeah, laying it down, but with a nice picture of Hawthorne here, like, burnout is not that someone doesn't care enough. It is not an individual failing or someone not, quote unquote, like coping. But it's also not experienced the same by everyone, right? And also, like I've mentioned, it's not something that we can like easily recover from like alone. Sorry, same slide. So yeah, so some of the structural factors, which I know will be really obvious to folks attending an anarchist book fair, because, you know, I know you folks like connect these dots regularly, but it is worth naming that burnout is like heavily, heavily classed and racialized and gendered in terms of like who experiences burnout and how. You know, it's often really related to like poverty and financial precarity and the sort of stress of surviving in capitalism. Caring responsibilities and caring labor is like a massive dynamic. You know, like the sort of precedence before I burnt out really hard, I was caring for like, you know, a really sick friend with cancer, and then another like best friend who died, and then, you know, my grandparents who all died, and I was like a carer for my nan for 5 years. So it's like the kind of division of labor of who does this caring work is like a critical piece as well, but also recognizing the kind of, you know, the driver of burnout, which is fucking wage labor, right? And selling our labor for shit we don't want to do, but we have to do to survive. Class is obviously a massive factor, like whether someone can access any kind of rest or respite, or whether they have like a safety net, and what a feeling of a safety net does for someone's nervous system, you know, whether they can just call their parents and ask for support, or whether if they don't, you know, actually do that job, like they're on the streets. Like, that's, yeah, it's a real like class division in terms of yeah, trauma and like the distribution of trauma. Access to support and healthcare, you know, like who can, I mean, burnout prevention isn't about going to a fucking spa, right? But I'm just saying that like whether you can access healthcare to support you with your chronic disease or chronic inflammation, you know, whether you can access like therapy or, you know, like other forms of support to like process trauma, and, you know, like all of these things are potentially very inaccessible to groups of people in a targeted way, obviously in capitalism and, you know, in state violence. But yeah, it's kind of a critical piece. Like disability and chronic illness, like I really wrote about in the Overcoming Burnout book, like how I was like unlearning my ableism because I'd been a very normative kind of quote unquote like able-bodied person, which I hate that term. But, you know, I hadn't experienced illness like in that way. And then suddenly I'm spending 2 years like with severe pain in and out of hospital, and then navigating like the medical system and all the things I can't do because my energy is limited. And yeah, and then I got contributions. I put a call out for people all over the world contacted me with their experiences of chronic illness and organizing and their frustration with ableism in group spaces and what things could help them to participate in social struggles because they really fucking cared but had, you know, difficulties and limitations that other people had no comprehension of. So yeah, that's a major factor. Again, relating to class, like housing instability and lack of safety, state violence, you know, things like state repression and massive drivers of burnout. Like I know, like, you know, the time I spent in prison and all the years before and after, like navigating all this fear and uncertainty were like major drivers of my cortisol levels and my stress levels that led to this kind of burnout moment. And yeah, like I've mentioned, like all burnout is kind of worsened by oppression and marginalization. And I know those factors compound as well. So what I didn't realize until I really started learning about this stuff when I got chronically sick and then built on that over several years of clinical training is how much burnout is really biological. So, you know, it's not just our kind of... Yeah, it's not just our attitudes or, you know, blah, blah, capitalism, but it's literally like our bodies can only cope with so much. And we might have desires and intentions to keep going, but they're unlikely to be matched by like a physical ability to cope. And, you know, that we do experience things like stress hormone cycles, where if we're constantly pumping out stress hormones, that will have a longer term consequence on our health in terms of reducing our body's ability to then cope with further stress. And that's why things like class and trauma play a massive factor, because if someone, like I'm bouncing into prison as a 21-year-old, growing up with a single parent family on benefits with fuckloads of horrible abusive men in and out of our life, like a lot of fucking experiences of moving around and instability. And, you know, my mum had very serious mental health issues when I was growing up. So it was like, by the time I got to prison, I was already like a fucking state, you know, and already had been pumping out those stress hormones for like, you know, 2 decades. Whereas other people might land into that situation without that background and therefore have much more physical capacity to tolerate stress. And now I've got a baby, I'm trying so hard to bring him up with minimal stress and, you know, not having a lifetime of cortisol, you know, this kind of stress hormone spike in his body. Hormones are like really complicated and it's way more complex than I'm talking about now. But I'm just saying that stress affects every physiological process in the body. And also, like, I wrote a blog about the ecology of feeling shit, that there are so many factors that contribute to someone feeling awful. Like, it's not just capitalism is awful, so therefore I feel depressed. It is actually also capitalism is awful, but I'm really deficient in magnesium, which means I'm a major insomniac, or, you know, I don't have enough B6, which means I'm having panic attacks, or my gut microbiome is really kind of disordered because of all the chronic stress. So therefore, you know, my guts are really bad, or I'm dealing with chronic infections, you know, all of the things. I'm basically saying like our ecology and our environments like massively shape, where, you know, how we feel on a day-to-day basis and our kind of experiences of burnout and our, like, you know, potential risk of burnout. And obviously there's like a whole other like environmental justice angle of who is being exposed to, for example, a certain chemical, and then that's creating chronic disease and inflammation. And, you know, it's like super racialized, like pollution and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I'm just saying that biology is like a massive part of burnout. And if you're struggling right now, it might be not just a quote unquote mental health thing, but actually like a physical thing in your physiology that is really affecting your ability to cope. So yeah, there's also massive like cultural factors, right? Like it is the water we swim in. So like we are all coming to life with these like inherited cultural worldviews, which I know are different from, you know, place to place. But some of these are, you know, quite like, have I got another slide here? No, like quite prevalent in movements for social change as much as just normal life. So this kind of like macho social culture stuff and like emotional repression. So when I was a kid going through all the repression, my sort of elders in the movement were always talking about, oh, prison is a holiday camp, like, yeah, they were all talking about how, you know, prison's a holiday camp and like we don't suffer compared to the animals. So like you couldn't complain, you know, it's like really taboo to talk about burnout or trauma or anything else. I've already mentioned ableism, but that again is like a massive factor in our movements. Sanism and neurotypicalism, it's like this pressure of like just, you know, the culture we're in of like you have to be this like neurotypical person who quote unquote functions in society, and if there's any like divergence of that, then that's like punished, you know, like if you quote unquote fail to cope, like, in, you know, that's how they frame it, then okay, what if, you know, you fucking get put in a fucking psychiatric hospital or whatever, or get, you know, culturally socially isolated. Like there's all these things. I'm so sorry, I've realized I've been talking for 13 minutes and I've not got very long left. So anyway, I'm just saying it's like this cultural factor that, you know, is part of kind of driving burnout is like our inability to talk about feelings, to name our feelings, to identify what we need, to communicate with other humans. And yeah, just this like intense individualism and exceptionalism of like, if I just keep doing this, if I go for a run every morning, if I go swimming once a week, if I have sex, you know, every day, blah, 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 like maybe I won't burn out, or I won't be the one affected by, you know, fucking supporting people getting tortured in prison like for fucking 20 years on end. Like we think we can be the exception to the rule rather than just recognizing like we live in a really intense oppressive culture where the responsibility to not burn out is placed solely on the individual. And then, you know, we're really coming at things with this like intense Protestant work ethic. And I really know this from having relationships with people like in the Basque Country and stuff. And the Spanish state is like, you know, like you really realize this like intense fucking English colonial attitude to like work ethic. And it's so fucking ingrained in ourselves of like how hard you're meant to work and you're only worthy if you're like productive. And, you know, just this intense workaholism of like ignoring our feelings by, you know, focusing on other tasks and projects and things. And then, yeah, fucking hell, this hangover of Christianity around judgment and criticism and never doing enough and feeling inherently not good enough. Like, and, you know, just this fucking culture we're in where we're like constantly tearing each other down and criticizing each other. And, you know, like, yeah, just this. I'm not talking about cancel culture in the sense of like, you know, the fash of organize the fucking benefit gig somewhere, let's close it down. I'm talking about the culture of fear people have about saying the wrong thing, quote unquote wrong thing, even if, you know, they are where they are on their particular political education journey, and just this like intense fear of social isolation if we make a mistake. Like, we will lose everything. We will lose our livelihood, our social group, you know, whatever, if we just like fuck up even once, you know. And like, we live in this like intense kind of culture of fear where there is this like, you know, these major drivers of perfectionism in what we do. So yeah, and then, you know, so like, just people living in normal society are already like dealing with all this fucking shit, let alone like oppression and structural violence and poverty. But then, you know, you throw in trying to fucking change it all and being involved in a social movement, and there's just like a whole other thing of like pressure on us. So, you know, we're often organized in groups where like the fucking workload is insane. Like, I'm sorry to use sanist language, but like, you know, we put so much pressure on ourselves, like, oh, our tiny group of six people have to stop six mega prisons from being built all over the country. It's like, come on, man, like six people versus like this massive state and the literally billions of pounds prison building program. And okay, like the campaign was like very effective, but just the pressure we all put on ourselves is so intense. And often, obviously, there's this like, you know, these high stakes organizing where, you know, if we don't do this, this and this, maybe someone will fucking die. You know, that's literally how it is. You know, like, say, if I know a lot of people in the Balkans do border solidarity work. I mean, people are doing like no borders work all over Europe, but it's like, yeah, like if that rescue ship doesn't make it to those people, like they will fucking drown. And that level of like stakes is so high, like on the sort of human psyche, when we've just been evolved to like fucking forage plants. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, I've already mentioned about perfectionism and high standards. People are often like really organizing with these like intense physical demands, whether that's, you know, living at some sort of protest site or even just like having a fucking job, looking after a baby and then trying to organize on top and having no rest. Like, you know, our bodies are often subjected to like really intense shit. Like the emotional weight of what we're dealing with, like just, you know, the fucking grief and the rage at the injustice in the world, like that, you know, it just fucking weighs heavy on you, right? And then trauma. So, you know, I see trauma as like any kind of like wounding or distressing experience. So there's like plenty of those if you're involved in a social movement. You know, if you think about state repression, like not only are we trying to fucking survive capitalism, you know, the same as everyone else, and then being involved in this like weird movement where everyone is horrible to each other, and then dealing with like the violence of the state, the fear of getting arrested, of getting raided, of going to prison. You know, yeah. And then just living where there's like a low priority on collective care, where we don't talk about what we need and our bodies need. And it's very difficult to be like, I need a fucking break. And then, yeah, don't get me started on this last one around fetishization of poverty, that like our movements, you know, I understand anti-capitalism, obviously, but like, there's a glamour around poverty that is glamorized. And anyone who's actually grown up in real poverty, you know, doesn't fucking share that. But there is a real taboo around like earning money or trying to build a livelihood, when actually like it's really fucking important that we build infrastructure, you know, whether that's workers' co-ops or even just investing in our own livelihoods. Like me, for example, becoming a herbalist has been life-changing in terms of like bring in a tiny bit more financial stability to my life. But so yeah, so somehow we're meant to deal with all of this fucking stuff without any fucking money. And yeah, it's like bloody hell. It's no wonder that everyone is like sick and tired and burnt out. Okay, so yeah, I guess like just moving on to like, what the fuck can we do about all of this? The first chapter in the first blog I wrote was called Confronting Denial. And it was really about me addressing like, where the fuck am I in, you know, how am I really feeling? And that means like confronting denial about our workloads, like processing our grief. We don't want to rest because rest means feeling, but we need to allow ourselves to experience feelings. And I had a really amazing comrade who gave me free counseling for like 2 years, which was incredible at the time. But she gave me this metaphor of a tap, of you don't have to open the whole tap and be flooded by it. You can just let it out a little bit. And I think that, yeah, I've carried that with me forever now. So yeah, I obviously encourage people to ask for support before it's kind of like, quote unquote, too late. But yeah, on my website, I've got a link here to one of the blogs. I really talk about like the signs of burnout that are sometimes like quite subtle around, you know, like not wanting to socialize, things like this, that I encourage you to look at if you want to kind of like, yeah, question yourself about how you're really feeling and what you need. So I wrote another blog, which was called Transforming, Not Withdrawing, which was all about, like, everyone thought that I was just like writing this goodbye letter, right? Like, I'm just dropping out. And it wasn't the fucking case. Like, I desperately wanted to stay involved, but I just needed things to change. Like, and it's all very well having amazing, you know, quote unquote, self-care when we're not under all this strain. But like, how the fuck do we keep going and keep caring for each other? Because I want this work to continue. Like, I want people to be fucking liberating animals and protecting land from fucking destruction and doing mutual aid work and, you know, all the things. So how can we transform our collectives instead? And yeah, just some like super tangible examples from one of the crews that I was in that I talk about in the book, which is, you know, we fundraise collectively for counseling, for supporting each other in the collective. We changed our kind of policy on our expenses of like, while I'm traveling and doing workshops around the country or speaking tours or whatever, then we fucking buy a decent meal. Like, we eat well, you know, instead of getting a train at fucking 4 a.m. because it's £10 cheaper than one at like rush hour, we get the fucking one when our body has had enough sleep, even if it costs our collective a bit more money. So just, yeah, noticing our kind of needs of our body and trying to respond to them together. You know, things like travel opportunities for people who haven't been able to travel because of like their class context, you know, like scheduling breaks and like quality time off, prioritizing access, things like childcare, confronting the division of labor, like in our groups, reducing fucking overwhelm, like less meetings, please. you know, like thinking about how we communicate with each other and what is necessary communication and what isn't. Saying no to more things, like I'm not going to go and do another workshop, for example. And here I am doing a talk at a book fair. Anyway, focusing on like more achievable goals, like, okay, maybe we can't actually stop a massive prison building program, but maybe we can try and start a local group that can, you know, challenge it in the, you know, the planning system, or I don't know, just, yeah, making things a bit more achievable. Don't get me started on this around arrests and cannon fodder and, you know, just rejecting a fucking culture where it's okay for people to get arrested and go to prison, even though they've maybe achieved fucking nothing. Like, I really hate this, like, civil disobedience stuff. It's like, do something and fucking get away with it and have good security culture. Like, I don't like repression used as a strategy, because I've just seen behind the scenes of people getting traumatized over and over again. So yeah, like trying to have good security culture to kind of prevent this repression, or not prevent repression, but you know what I mean? Like, buffer the chances that someone's going to go to prison. Group activities to process grief, like rituals or making altars at events with fallen comrades, or, you know, starting an accessible herbalism practice to support folks experiencing burnout. That's what I've done. Okay, so yeah, I've talked for my 20 minutes now. Yeah, that was very quick. I'm sorry. just going to share some resources. So one of them is I teach this herbalism, PTSD and traumatic stress course, which just covers all of this fucking stuff. It covers like the biology of burnout and chronic stress, how stress affects the body, different nervous system states, different herbal support, nutritional interventions, all of the things, how we collectively respond to stress. And it's open for enrollment really soon on the 22nd of September. It's open for like 10 days or maybe 2 weeks. And then I kind of close it down again. But it's completely sliding scale. So no one is turned away for lack of funds. You know, you can literally access it for nothing if needed. So yeah, please check that out. I've got a podcast, Frontline Herbalism Podcast, where I, you know, have different interviews with different herbalists and organizers and other things and talk about these sorts of themes. I've obviously got the Overcoming Burnout book. Go and buy it from John Active. It'll be at the book fair somewhere. Or you can also buy the ebook online for £3. I've got a book called Herbalism and State Violence if you're interested in more sort of like the political opportunities of herbalism and that in practice. And yeah, I also offer herbal care packages for people in different grassroots collectives and people experiencing repression or leaving prisons. So you can find it all at solidarityapothecary.org. Thank you for listening. I'm so sorry for talking so fast, especially when I'm sure people have English as a second language. So I'm sorry. Anyway, take care, everyone. And yeah, thank you for your time. Thanks so much for listening to the Frontline Herbalism Podcast. You can find the transcript, the links, all the resources from the show at solidarityapothecary.org/podcast.